This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Yeah, hold on just a second, Anthony. I'm going to listen to the rest of this introduction, but I've got to take this call.
Meghna, we're kind of in the middle of a show here.
Hello?
Is this really the right time?
Hello? Looks like I missed it. What were you saying?
I'm saying that we're doing a show, Meghna.
Sorry. Hang on. Wait, I was just checking my email. Of course. Just kidding.
Thank goodness.
Just kidding.
I had
really
me worried.
Because the Radio Boston studio, as every studio at WBUR, is absolutely a cell-free zone. I mean, just ask our guests. We confiscate their phones while they're on the air. Right, Meredith?
That's right.
Yes.
It was taken away from me. I was screaming and crying. But
but the point is, as the setup that Anthony and I just did, which was kind of annoying, wasn't it?
I would say yes.
I haven't gotten over it.
It was annoying on the radio, but imagine how annoying it is when your partner is the one who is always on the cell phone. I mean, maybe you don't actually have to imagine, because it is a problem, a really big one, and the subject of a recent letter Meredith Goldstein examined in her Boston Globe column, Love Letters. Meredith is back with us. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, so tell us about the person who will never put their cell phone down.
I'm actually shocked that this is the first letter I received about this problem, because it's just so, you know, prevalent all over the place. You know, a woman wrote in and said that her boyfriend is always on the phone, and not just on calls, but checking texts, checking email. He actually took out his phone during a dinner and said, well, you know, we weren't really talking about anything anyway.
I'm just bored.
I figured I should check in. And, you know, I gave this woman some, you know, pretty straightforward advice about setting boundaries and rules for, you know, their alone time together. But I felt a little bit like a hypocrite, because I am someone who has trouble putting that phone down. And I think we all do at this point. As soon as you have, you know, a smartphone that you can, you know, constantly be communicating with people, it's hard not to wonder, what am I missing?
Well, apparently he was also doing things like driving and texting.
Yes,
so she worried about her safety.
Yeah,
and felt ignored on top of that.
In this situation, yes, the guy was not so nice in some fundamental ways. But, you know, what sort of hit home for me was that just the cell phone addiction itself is pretty common, unfortunately. And it made me really rethink, when do I use my phone? How often do I need to use my phone? I personally have a addiction to the cell phone game Brick Breaker. And I have been known to play it while waiting for food to be delivered at a restaurant with friends. You know, why can't we let these things go?
Well, okay, so there's the issue with friends, but there's also the issue when you're doing it with someone who you maybe want to spend the rest of your life
with. Date
with. Is this a deal breaker? Did you say it's a deal breaker in her relationship?
You know, I think it has to change. I think that everybody gets a pass for making a mistake, but I think that if someone can't put the phone down and can't be engaged in a real conversation, yeah, it's a deal breaker.
Okay, listeners, so have you been through this? Has the cell phone wormed its way between you and your partner? And how bad did it get? I guess, you know, the real issue that this letter raises is, how much are mobile devices transforming romantic relationships in bad and maybe even good ways? And what should we do when we can't hold hands because we're always holding our cell phone? So give us a call with your stories at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now, for a little bit more perspective on this, Meredith, I want to welcome someone else into the conversation. He is William Powers, and he is the author of Hamlet's Blackberry, Building a Good Life in the Digital Age. William Powers, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's great to talk to you. And of course, as technology goes, it looks like we're talking to you on Skype today. Is that right?
We are on Skype. Yes. I'm sorry about that.
No apologies whatsoever. I mean, this is the whole issue, that technology is such an integrated part of our lives. So when you saw this letter, Bill Powers, I mean, you've written a whole book about how technology is taking over. What was your response to it?
Yeah, you know, I am surprised, as Meredith was, that she doesn't get more letters like this, because it's a factor in everybody's life now. You know, we used to talk about the other woman or the other man, and the other woman is now technology. We're cheating on our partners a lot because we're so addicted, as Meredith put it, and we have to get our arms around this, or we're not going to get our arms around our lovers. You know, this is essential. This is at the heart of our lives.
Well, how do you, you know, for these people who feel the constant need to check and text, I mean, is it really about communicating with others, or is it just a self-soothing mechanism of habit? I mean, how do people stop? Is it just like quitting smoking or anything else?
Or it could be a little bit of both,
Yeah, it's like any of these problems. You know, I have a sugar addiction, and it's very similar to that for me. You know, it's like you're really ultimately not doing it for a good reason when you can't stop, and not only do you have to become aware of it, but people who are dating someone with that problem have to face up to it. It's sort of today's version of alcoholism.
Mm. You know, it's just so remarkable how cell phones are so ubiquitous. I mean, there have been lots of studies, and I know Bill Powers and Meredith, you're probably familiar with them. I mean, one from the Pew Center on the Pew Internet Life Project, I should say. You know, they did a study last year that shows that 65% of people sleep with their cell phones, either on the bed or right next to it. 52% of them also say they enjoy their phones as a source of entertainment. So, I mean, Bill Powers, here's the thing. We also need them. I mean, another report I saw said 88% of people feel unsafe without their cell phone. So how is it to then, you know, draw boundaries when they are our third appendage?
Well, we do need them, obviously, for our work and for so many practical purposes. But that point you just said, Meghna, about being unsafe without them, I think that's an example of going overboard. You know, some people feel they can't walk around the block without their cell phone. I mean, you know, we become juvenile almost in our sense of, you know, fear of the world beyond the digital. Mm-hmm. And I think that should enter into our thinking about our relationships. You know, take a risk, turn it off, and be with the other person. You'll have much more fun.
Hey, Meredith, is there a basic hypocrisy here? I mean, because you admitted to your own cell phone problem. I honestly have to say, the Radio Boston studio for an hour a day is probably the only time I don't have phone on me. Like, everybody does it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one question I had of myself is, you know, when do you have to turn it off? What do you say to someone when you want them to turn off their phone so that they don't get defensive? You know, is it okay? You know, I have a lot of reporter friends. They're checking their phones all night and to say, hey, look, I feel like you're not really paying attention to me.
What did your readers, Love Letters readers, say about, like, when does it become a problem
in a relationship? Some of them were more conservative than others. It was interesting to see who had a job where a cell phone was required and they were on call 24 hours a day. Those people were a lot more sympathetic to the idea of constantly checking, you know, being income dependent on your phone. Other people said, you know, during family dinners and all night long, there's no reason to check it, especially if all your family members that you're worried about are in your house. Hmm. So, you know, and age seemed to play a part in it, too. 20-year-olds felt, well, of course you're checking your phone all night. It seemed there was a definite generational divide.
Okay, well, let's take we've got a bunch of callers who undoubtedly some of them are calling on their cell phones. Let's hear from some of them. Anne is calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Anne.
Hi, I just wanted to tell my little story. I had a boyfriend who was always on the phone, either calling, receiving calls, or texting, getting texts. One night we were at dinner, and I heard the beep for the text. And I just took his phone, and he put his hand on mine and grabbed it, and we ended up breaking the phone
gosh.
The middle of the restaurant. And he broke up with me after that.
He broke up with you because of that?
Wow.
Well, I mean, of course, you know, it was a buildup.
Right.
That was his big, you know, moment of truth or something. So.
And quite a moment of truth, my gosh.
And, I mean, what effect did this have on you and, like, your perception of just relationships and terms and boundaries that you're going to draw in the future?
Well, you know, I just think that these cell phones, you know, if there's something, it makes you feel suspicious, I think, you know. I just can't help, you know, it just seems so secretive to me when, you know, he's texting or, you know, especially the texting, I think, because you can't hear anything or, you know, and if it's hidden, you can't see anything. So
yeah.
It's easy to feel suspicious.
Meredith, jump in here.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that there are two levels to this. Some people just feel as though they're being ignored. Other people say, well, who are you texting? And it brings up an issue of jealousy. I think even if you're not jealous of who might be the recipient of a message, it's just the time spent that's a problem for many couples.
Bill Powers, your book is titled Hamlet's Blackberry. And of course, the central question that Hamlet himself was struggling with was the one of existence. I mean, it just seems to me that, you know, how is it that we can figure out, hearing from Anne's story, I mean, this was like a pivotal moment in her life where she's like, no, this is my boundary.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Hamlet's also obviously to be or not to be, and that is kind of the question we're asking ourselves about our phones, is when to be with them and when to be with other people. And I think we're actually learning these boundaries ourselves because we're so early into the digital age. You know, it's barely been 20 years. It sometimes takes a century or two for a new technology to really get figured out and for people to feel comfortable about it, which is what I talk about in my book. We're going through a cycle human beings always go through, and we're going through it together, which is why I think we need to have conversations like this one and conversations with our loved ones about the technology. We tend to avoid it as a topic until it causes trouble.
Let's get another call. I'm sorry about that, Bill, but there's so many people who want to join us. I just want to jump in here and get to a few of them before we run out of too much time. Linda is calling from Newton. You're on the air, Linda.
Yes, hi. It's funny to hear you bring this topic up. This is absolutely full description of my life. My significant other and I are not in the 20 to 30 demographic. We're in the 50 to 60 demographic. He has his cell phone constantly 24/7 in the bathroom, at the bedside, when we're out to dinner, when we're at friends' houses, when we're at the movies. He's texting constantly. He is making posts to Facebook. He's having conversations with other people. While we're in the middle of a conversation, he'll be texting. And some portion of that is with his children. So, you know, if your kids are needing you, I feel like that's okay to respond.
And often that seems to be one of the primary ways that parents are able to communicate with their kids.
Yeah, that's
and
a positive.
And it can be used as an excuse, too. Like, it's not necessarily that there's an emergency or it's just I'm having a conversation. Hey, what are you doing? And so it's, to your point, Meredith, like, I don't really know how you address that. It's like you can slam your hand down on the phone and say, stop it, but it's so much a part of his...
Right, and it does help
in the world.
It does, like with any addiction, it helps if the person in question, has a reality check. I remember recently seeing How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying in New York with Daniel Radcliffe, and there was a girl down the aisle from me texting her friend, "I'm seeing Harry Potter right now," and I'm thinking, "Well, you're not really seeing him. You're texting about him." Her eyes were down on her BlackBerry, and I think it takes a person saying, "Wow, I'm missing the moments that are happening right in front of my eyes and in real time." So it does take a certain level of self-awareness.
Bill Powers, you've written about this, about, you know, what we can actually actively do in our lives to answer the question that Linda asked. How do you start breaking the connection or separating a human being from his
right
phone?
What's the right thing to say, asks the relationship advice giver. What should we say to our partners who are addicted?
Well, the most helpful thing to remember is, talk about it, but try to talk about it before you have one of these flare-ups. You know, the caller gave us a situation where it was a really, you know, they were really having a fight about it. Talk about it in calm moments when you want to set a new habit or a new way of handling this together, and you can sort of reach a new place. Otherwise, it's always going to be an argument and you'll never get anywhere.
I also wonder about the fact that people feel so much pressure to have their phones because, you know, Meredith, you were mentioning your reporter friends. I know that, like, but anyone in any kind of business, the phone is also a form of business communication.
Of course.
And, like, being not there when someone texts or calls is problematic, Bill Powers.
Yeah, I mean, it really is problematic. We all have to together really basically resolve that we're going to think about new rituals and almost manners. You know, we have to develop new manners around these technologies because we need them for work. We need them for so many other purposes. But there's also more to life than technology. Both are true. That's the issue.
I want to get one last call in here. Joe is calling from Newburyport. You're on the air, Joe.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think it's very dangerous, our reliance on this technology, as I'm calling from my cell phone, but I try to turn it off when I'm in social settings or not take it, but I think it's a dangerous elevation from cell phone use to earphone and earplug use while people are biking, while they're running, while they're walking. I've seen mothers with headphones in their ears while they're running their kids or walking their kids in the strollers. Hmm. It's just an evolution of this technology that's getting more dangerous and more dangerous and more self-centered.
Joe, thank you so much for your call. On that note, Bill Powers, we just have a couple seconds left. You have written about this thing, and I want to invite Meredith with an opportunity to take it up, maybe, of a cell phone or media mobile device Sabbath, right?
Yes, Internet Sabbath.
Internet Sabbath.
We do ours on the weekend.
Okay.
We just do the simple weekend offline, which works for us because of our jobs and so forth. But the point is balance, having some kind of a ritual where you're offline some of the time. I wonder what Meredith thinks of that.
Well, even when you said Sabbath and I thought of a whole day without my cell phone, I started to sweat a little bit.
Could you live without Brick Breaker?
I'm thinking about Brick Breaker right now, even while we're I do think it's a great idea. And, you know, as a couple, if you have a date night, if you have an evening out planned, to say, you know, we'll leave our phones at home or we'll leave it in the glove compartment just in case our car breaks down. But I think that's a fantastic idea.
So the first step is just to create a little space.
A little
and
space.
See what
happens. Maybe start with 2 hours.
Right. Well, and make it a habit.
Yeah.
Well, Bill Powers, author of Hamlet's Blackberry, Building a Good Life in the Digital Age, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Meghna.
And Meredith Goldstein, columnist for Love Letters at the Boston Globe. Always a pleasure to have you.
Thank
Put
you
the
for
phone down.
Me. Don't make me, please.
Listeners, thank you so much for your call. And obviously, there's so much more to talk about on this issue. So drop us a line at radioboston.org.
Hello, hello, baby. You called. I can't hear a thing. I have got no service. You say, what did you say? Oh, you're breaking up on me.